Welcome to the Rand CRE Show. Commercial real estate with no stone left unturned.
What's up, everybody? This is Dylan Marma bringing to you the Rand CRE Show, joined by our co-host, Mike Taravella. How are you doing today, Mike?
You know, just living the dream, making it happen, and excited to talk about our favorite topic, expenses.
Love to hear it. Always making it happen and living the dream. And before we get started, always want to remind you, the Rand CRE Show is hosted by Rand Commercial Real Estate. We are a vertically integrated real estate investment and advisory firm, providing opportunities for investors to create passive streams through investing in real estate, as well as providing active investors with a place to come and source debt and equity across the board. If you have any questions about how to fund your next deal, or if you'd like to partner with us through investing passively, you can always reach out to us at randcre.com. So for today's show, we have a topic that I think we're going to catch a lot of interest, because we've had a lot of folks reaching out with questions about expenses, right? So there's a lot of talk, of course, about the income increasing and value-add investing and how we can take the rents from where they are today to where they can be when you after your value is completed, right? After you've invested into the property, your time and effort and your sweat equity, and you've brought it up to market rates. But what doesn't always get talked about quite as much, and what oftentimes is overlooked, is the expense increase, right? Expense increase on an underwriting or a pro forma are oftentimes just represented as a 2% or 2.5% increase year over year. But what we want to do is get a little bit more granular than that and shed some light on it for any active or passive investors in terms of what are the major line items that you're going to see in terms of your operating expenses, and then what threats are posed for the increase of these expenses moving forward. That way we know what we're up against, so we can better underwrite our deals and hopefully feel more confident in any kind of investment that we make.
Yeah, this is important too when investors, because these are the questions you want to ask your sponsorships before you're involving and investing in them, is how are you mitigating these risks that are apparently looming in the expenses? How are they going up? Why are they going up? We want to equip you guys with the best ways to handle these questions go before investing.
Mm-hmm. And when you're underwriting and you're going through a deal, it's an iterative process, and the expense budget that we have in place is often going to be refined several times over before we have a deal under contract. So we're not going to be giving many rules of thumb. I was actually having a conversation recently with someone that was going out and putting offers out using 40%, and I've heard people using 50% expense ratios. And that is just a recipe for disaster, because if you're going out there and you're using an expense ratio, but you're not clear on what the actual dollar amount per each line item is, you're going to be in a tough position, because you might be underwriting a deal that has lower rents. You might be saying that you can run a deal at $3,000 per unit per year, but the reality is, in that market, it may take $4,500 per unit per year, and that's going to put your back up against the wall very, very quickly. So let's try to steer away from too many rules of thumbs. We're even going to steer away from giving you specific dollar amounts on most of these items, but we more so want to talk about what they consist of, and we want to leave it up to you, the audience, to do the extra work to go out there and talk to your property manager, talk to whoever is going to be the asset manager with your team, to ensure that you have crystal clear numbers in place and you feel good about what your expenses are operating at and what they're going to be increasing at. So let's get started. Mike, do you want to start off with management?
Management fee is the percentage of income that they collect. So we've seen a various scales of percentages, but going forward, we think that this is always just good to ask on the front end what that management fee is, what it consists of, and just making sure what income they're collecting on top of it.
Mm-hmm. So we want the management fee to go up largely, right? Because that means our income is going up, right? Management fee is a percentage of income. So if you see this increasing, that's a good thing. But as Mike mentioned, really, you want to be clear as you're interviewing, if you're interviewing third-party management, what is their fee? But oftentimes the ones that have a low fee on a percentage basis may also have additional fees tied to move-ins or tied to paying their accounting out of pocket, right? And you're going to have additional line items that you might not have with a higher percentage, right? So make sure you get the whole picture as you're interviewing a management company.
Next, we have repair and maintenance. Dylan, what consists of repair and maintenance?
So repair and maintenance is going to be all of the day-to-day reoccurring items and costs that are going into the upkeep of the physical aspects of the property. So think about lot of your simple turn costs, a lot of your touching up of the paint, a lot of the upkeep in the toilets, upkeep in the HVAC, right? You're typically, this is not replacing toilets, replacing HVAC. Those oftentimes flow through more of your capital expenditures, your CapEx items. But anytime you're repairing and maintaining, just like it sounds, right? any of your interior work, your exterior work. And this is typically one of the larger line items. Oftentimes we're looking at north of 500 per unit per year, but again, we're not gonna put you in a box.
Every market's different, disclaimer, every market's different, every asset class is different, every.
Right, and this is something that is really largely gonna depend on the management team you're working with, right? And how they classify this and how it all flows, right? If you have some people can combine various line items, right? This is just how we look at it oftentimes. Now, repair and maintenance, this is going to be an item that we expect to go up at, I would say, just a standard rate. And there's no such thing as a standard rate, but we'll think going up alongside, I think, consumer price index is probably a fair way to going up with inflation. If you're outsourcing some of these jobs, it gets a little bit more expensive because a lot of times the vendors will go through what we call price creep, is when they slowly start to inch up their pricing once they have your business and they think that you're going to stick with them long term. So you want to pay attention to that. You also want to pay attention to the decisions that your community manager is making on the repair and maintenance. Is there items that you could do without? Are there items that you should be replacing instead of just repairing because they're in very poor condition and it's been an ongoing challenge? For instance, if you're just repairing a pipe that's leaking every 2 weeks, maybe you want to consider replacing that, right? So those are the kind of things you want to think about when it comes to repairs and maintenance.
I think just too, the materials themselves are just going to generally increase over time with inflation. So that's a good kind of way to think of it, is materials are going to get more expensive. So is my repair and maintenance of the materials to get them.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you can probably go more granular and look at specific materials and where they're being sourced from, things like that. But we're not going to do that in today's show. General and administration, right? G&A. So your G&A is a lot of your office expenses. When you get to the scale where you have a larger property and you have an office on the property, so typically the 100 plus unit scale, you have your community manager running the property and then sometimes back with leasing agents and then the maintenance team. This is going to consist of all of your office equipment. It's going to consist of the furniture around the office, the things that you're replacing in the office. It's going to consist of your software and your technology, anything that you're using day to day to help manage the property in that sense. It's going to consist of your employee events. It's going to consist of your resident events. So anytime you're being able to go out and do some resident outreach and build a community with them, oftentimes that will fall under G&A. And it's going to consist of your computers. Anytime you're buying laptops for new employees running the team, if you have a golf cart on site, you're going to be usually running that under G&A, and a lot of times your gas will go through your G&A. It'll consist of your phone systems. Things to that effect. So that's your general and administrative. This is typically going to be, much smaller than repairs and maintenance. It's typically, could be anywhere, I'd say north of 150. But again, we're not going to give you anything crystal clear on that. That's going to be up to you and your team, because even these things that we're mentioning, some people might run them differently, right? So that's just typically how we look at that item.
I think the biggest thing for G&A is just making sure if you're investing in technologies, we're evolving very quickly. So is there any pricing software for units? Is there project management softwares you want to invest in? Is there any other softwares or technology that can help your day-to-day? This is where you really need to reflect, probably maybe yearly, just to see, how can I invest in a technology that makes our job easier? One of our investor friends brought up a good point of, how can I make your job easier, but I can't give you someone that eats? So I can't hire someone, but what can I invest in you and your team to make your job easier, to help you more efficient? So that's kind of a good way to look at it, is what efficiencies can you gain in investing in technology or computers?
Mm-hmm. And that's going to be an increasingly important thing, right? The reality is that a lot of people are going to be looking at new ways to increase their property management services through investing in technology. So we're probably going to see G&A go up, but at the same time, that could also mean payroll's going down and so on, right? So you want to just pay attention to the shifts, and that could definitely change a whole lot as far as what that looks like moving forward. But similar to R&M on this one, it really is a good blend of various things here. So I think you're relatively safe, assuming an increase that is alongside, we could say, consumer pricing index or rising with inflation. But you can get more granular on that as needed, and that's going to depend on how you're running your specific property. The next line item is your contract services. So again, most of these things are pretty straightforward. When you hear the name contract services, these are services that are delivered consistently through a contract that you have in place, right? So think about your trash service. And this can sometimes be ran under utilities, but oftentimes we see it under contract services. But this is going to be a consistent bill. Oftentimes you can find ways to negotiate the trash service and be able to decrease the expenses a little bit going into the property. But even in that contract, it might be a 5-year contract, and you might have a 3% increase year over year on that contract. Oftentimes there's some kind of an agreement in place up front that has an agreed upon increase along the way. So you want to negotiate that, and it should be a relatively predictable expense increase when you're looking at something like trash. And the same thing goes for landscaping. So the big ones I think about with contract, you have trash, landscaping, and pests. Landscaping is very similar, and pest control is very similar in terms of that you usually will have agreed upon contracts that are going to be at least 12 months. And if they're longer than that, you can usually even have a fixed increase along the way. The more things you can fix as far as your expenses go, the better, I would say, because you want to be less volatile. You want to be able to have a predictable expense outlook. So I think the more you can set yourself up for that, the better when you're negotiating these contracts. So, and maybe they'll give you a discount. Maybe instead of saying, hey, we're just going to do a quick 12-month deal, and then we might shop around and go with someone else, we might say, hey, we want to work with you guys for the next 3 years, but to do so, we need to start at a discount or have a very reasonable, maybe a fixed rate or a very low increase in the pricing.
Yeah, and I think with these contract services, a lot of it is labor intensive. So the biggest risk for these is that wages are going up. So just making sure that you are managing these contracts, there's a lot of overhead when it comes to these landscape pest control. So even though you think you're just paying for the labor, there's a lot of infrastructure behind it. So making sure that you're understanding that wages are going to go up. So making sure you're budgeting for those. So just making sure that you're cognizant of these every year and making sure that there's no price creep, like Dylan mentioned, where the price is scaling up.
Mm-hmm. The next one is your marketing costs. Marketing costs vary a lot depending on your location and depending on the asset type. For instance, a lot of our marketing costs are just simply software. We use a lot of apartments.com. We'll also make sure we're using different sources out there like Craigslist and Zillow. And we've actually had some success using Facebook. But if you're in more of a luxury community, or sometimes if you look at new developments, they have very, very heavy budgets when it comes to marketing, because they have to lease up an entire building. And maybe they're going after a higher dollar. So they're willing a dollar amount as far as their rental per month. And maybe they're willing to invest more so into very targeted Facebook ads. And we see some that are using Instagram ads and things like that. So they'll have very, very heavy marketing budgets. But on a lot of your more so workforce housing stuff, you'd probably see a lighter marketing budget. And usually it's the price that is going to attract a lot of people into those.
Another technology we use is Lisa. It's an artificial intelligence leasing software, and that's been a huge game changer of just getting guest cards and people in the door. So even this is the technology for marketing, even though we're not the A-plus class, we're getting a lot of high quality residents through our channels to make sure they're qualified, they're in, and we're just getting constant lead flow through it. So you don't have to do a cost per click campaign, you just have to have the right systems in place. Mm-hmm. So always reflect on that piece.
So this one is hard to really look at in terms of what the increasing is going to be like, but I think that's going to be up to you to decide, but it could be similar to, you know, the other ones in terms of just increasing alongside. You might want to put a blanket rate on that year over year, but you really have to think about what it is made up of and get relatively granular on it. You're seeing a common theme here, aren't you? But the marketing costs have shifted a whole lot, right? Because a lot of properties we even take over are still doing newspapers and physical ads and getting on flyers around the city. And we find you don't really have the best bang for your buck there, right? With technology, marketing has shifted in every industry, because your marketing is able to be much more targeted and much more directed towards the specific people that are looking for the specific product you have. So we find a much better ROI on your marketing dollars for going more towards technology. And a lot of times we're able to actually cut costs when it comes to marketing and still achieve better results by just being more targeted with where we're putting those dollars on marketing. So you want to just think about that. And in some ways we are at mercy to some of these larger channels that we're investing most of our marketing dollars into. And if they start going up at a high price, we probably are going to have to move along with them until it gets to a point where it no longer makes sense or you have other avenues.
So next we have is payroll. So when payroll, you have when you have the large enough properties, you have the salaries in it, you have bonuses, benefits, if you include those. And I think a cost that not many people talk about is turnover. Turnover is a huge cost when it comes to payroll. You're investing time as an employer to teach the systems, teach the process, teach everything. And hopefully that person will create an output that equates to a fully functioning operating apartment community. So just making sure that this turnover, it doesn't reflect in the P&L, but it can vastly affect occupancy, customer service, making sure you're hitting your budget. So this is one cost that is huge, but I think overall as a macro, salaries are going up, people are expecting more benefits, you're competing with the Amazons of the world and the high class jobs. People are looking for communities that are looking for employers that are going to help them develop in their careers. So just making sure that not only you're just paying salaries, but including other aspects of continuing education and development, really hearing so that you don't have to pay that turnover cost.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Mike. I think we're in the thick of it in terms of us running the management company and seeing what goes on in the day-to-day business. We're even looking at the idea of bringing in someone full-time just to recruit for the management company, because we are in a very competitive labor market. There's no doubt about it, right? There's very, very few people are coming to us that don't have other options. And if they do, there's probably something, probably a reason why, right? So a lot of the your good talent, you're going to have to be able to attract them through the culture that you have in place. You're going to have to build local connections. You're going to have to network avidly, and you're going to have to really go out there and put the sweat equity into your recruiting. And when you're budgeting for payroll, I think the biggest tip that we could probably present to you is stop thinking of it as just a cost per unit, and start thinking of it as who are you going to need to hire to effectively run the property, right? And what is going to be their salary, essentially, right? Are you going to have, is your property in a place where you can run it with just two people, community manager and a maintenance? Two people is always a little bit riskier because you can have turnover, and turnover is going to hit you pretty hard. If you don't have anyone to work at the office, or you don't have anyone to handle the maintenance, you're going to have to fill someone in there. And hopefully the management company you're working with has someone that can fill in temporarily. But your turnover costs may be higher on average, right? And that all goes back to the economies of scale. As you get to larger properties, you can afford more on-site staffing. So oftentimes, you know, you might want to look at a property and determine, you know, who's going to need to run it. You can usually consult with the management company to determine what that looks like. And then factor in all of the salaries, factor in all of the hourly workers for what you expect them to work per year, factor in any part-time. Sometimes you'll have floaters that will work half their time on one property, you know, factor in everything all together. And then you may want to even buffer an additional 35% for taxes, for benefits, and for turnover to make sure that you have a substantial amount baked in for your payroll moving forward. And as far as increases, I would say you can expect definitely to see some pretty significant increases there because of the market that we're in. I think it's just going to continue to get more and more competitive for quality folks to work on that side of things.
So for next expenses, utilities. So this is your electric for vacant units and for the offices. This includes your water. This includes gas if it's applicable for your property. And even though everyone's, you know, when you see a property or a community, everyone says, oh, you can implement RUBS, it's fine. But you really have to make sure you're keeping a pulse on it. This just this past year in Kentucky, the government increased the water bill 7% out of left field. So if we weren't on the pulse of that, then we wouldn't be able to increase our rubs going forward. So just making sure you have a pulse on it. I think just resources are inherently for those are going to go up, but similar to the consumer price index. I just think it's just, you know, water is going to become more expensive. Jake always jokes if he can invest in another thing, it'd be water because it's becoming a scarcer resource. But just making sure that you're having these factors in and making sure you're keeping pulses on it so that you can better understand and implement your rub strategy for your properties.
Mm-hmm. All great points. In a perfect world, every property would be individually metered and it would all be billed direct to resident. And the reason I say that, because a lot of people are so used to rubs being such a commonplace thing. There's typically a little bit of slippage with rubs, right? And most management companies will know what their stats are in terms of how much of that they collect. Do they collect back 90% of it or whatever it might be? But even with that, you typically are going to see, yeah, there's expense increases across the board. You're going to have to pay those expenses and hope that you have them back. You're going to have to pay them for all the residents. And the challenge is that even if their rent is, say someone has $700 rent and the water goes up 30 bucks from 750, now they're at 780, that's the same thing as you having a rental increase, right? They're having the same amount of money out of pocket, and everyone usually has some kind of a threshold that's the max threshold they're looking to achieve. So as utilities go up, and a lot of times, yeah, counties might decide to increase utilities to be able to create more revenue for the county. Like Mike said, we've seen it 7% overnight, right? So when you're budgeting for 3% increases or 2% increases, and then you have that happen, that takes a pretty big hit, right? So that's why with all of these things, it's really good to have some level of a buffer in place. And a lot of times, unfortunately, we're not gonna be able to predict which ones are going to shoot up, but the best thing we can do is prepare and have some kind of contingency plan in place.
So next is property taxes. So property taxes is when you purchase the property, you'll see a spike because you have the new assessed value, which equates to the market price. But once you hold that property, the mill rate can constantly change year over year, every 5 years, whatever, wherever is applicable for your community. So just making sure you're keeping pulses on that. We generally, when we underwrite, we assume if the property is going to change the assessed value in year three of holding it, we assume it on the front end because we'd rather be conservative and have those increases as we go so that once the property changes in tax value, we're ready to go. So just keeping pulse with chambers of commerce, reaching out to the tax assessor's website, just being on the tabs of the community and just seeing what the pulse is when it comes to those.
Yeah, this is a very localized issue. You have to certainly consult with the city and the county to determine what their overall plan is with taxes. I've heard, you know, there's certain areas that have limits. The taxes cannot go up more than a certain amount year over year, which makes it very, it's amazing, right? Because then it's very predictable and you're not too worried about taxes spiking. But we've also heard plenty of horror stories about taxes doubling in some areas. I know Texas is the one that really stood out in the last few years. You've heard of owners that were getting, you know, going to almost riots about the taxes that were taking place, because as an owner, that could put you out of business if the taxes double a lot of times, because that is oftentimes your largest expense out of all the different line items. And this is one of the most volatile, one of the ones that we have the least amount of control in. So taxes are a big thing. I would make sure to underwrite at least 3% increase year over year. And I think to anyone that is more of an IRR driven investor that's targeting an exit in 3 to 5 or 5 to 7 years, this is something I think we're going to see that's really going to hit hard, because you're underwriting to your exit, to a certain exit cap, right? And a lot of times the buyer is looking at, sure, they might look at your cap, but they're really going to be looking at what the tax adjusted entry cap is for them, right? So if taxes spike an additional 20%, for the next guy, as beyond what you've underwritten the taxes to increase to, you're going to have a tough time exiting that property at the value that you initially anticipated. So you really, really want to keep a close eye on it, because oftentimes the biggest readjustment is at sale, because that's redefining the value on the property by seeing it change hands at an arm's length transaction. So you really want to pay attention to that, because if you don't build enough of a buffer in there, then when you sell the property, if you're really targeting a certain threshold for your investors or for your investment, that's when you're going to see some challenges.
And two, with property taxes, everyone talks about, you know, big shifts ahead with Chris Porter and where people are going. Calling tax assessors, they know people are flocking to the Southeast. People know they're going to like the Jacksonvilles of the world. So even calling them, they know they used to reassess every 8 years. Now they're doing it every year because they know property tax values are going up and up and up because there's so much more demand. So even though people think the government's slow moving, these tax assessors are getting smarter and smarter because they know that's more tax revenue than they can collect.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, another one that we think is one of the probably the biggest ones to be concerned about is insurance. Insurance is, I would say, the largest threat out of all expenses that we're up against. And it may be second or third largest threat, I think, you know, it's arguable, but I think when it comes to, if you're just looking purely on a percentage increase basis, that's why I say it's largest threat on the percentage of increase that's going to be possible and that we're probably going to see happen in the next 2 or 3 years. We're hearing it more and more often about insurance companies that are rising in rates. Insurance companies are increasing their standards. Typically, you know, if you're going with a very high grade insurance group, you know, they're increasing standards and they're going to want to see everything, you know, looking very, very clean upon your initial takeover on the property. And you're going to see all kinds of requests that are getting made that can be very costly to the point where you might get pushed down to a little bit of a lower class insurance if you can't afford to make the upfront improvements at the purchase price that you're going in at. So then you go with a little bit lower grade insurance. Hopefully it still meets your requirements and it, you know, is going to be the protection that you need. But they might be a higher expense on a monthly basis, right? So, you know, we've personally seen stuff go from 225 up to 300 a unit, right? So you might say, well, that's $75, but look at that on a percentage basis. It's absolutely insane to see that there's properties that are literally going to go up north of 30% in 1 year, right? So we talk about underwriting a 2.5% expense increase. Meanwhile, insurance has the possibility of being able to go up as much as 30%. In some cases, I've heard of higher in certain areas. So I think that's the one out of all of them to really bake in a contingency when you're underwriting this. So you might want to just plan for a higher amount and hopefully, you know, you're able to achieve lower, but you have that higher amount in mind throughout your underwriting and throughout the, you know, the way that you're looking at the deal. But that's just one to definitely keep an eye on because I think we're going to see some changes there as we continue to see insurance companies realizing that they're not quite as profitable on some of these apartments as they initially had anticipated.
Yeah, more natural disasters are happening, just more older properties are getting older, so there's more insurance claims. So the business model has to change in the insurance. And then that's going to have to trickle down to our expenses increasing per property. So don't always assume it's always going to be the same amount year over year, unit per unit. Just even the flood zones, I'm sure they're eventually going to change as well. So just always being on the pulse and understanding and having good conversations with not only your vendors, but people in your peer group that are investing as well to make sure you keep pulses on it. Because if someone's up for renewal 8 months before, you can tweak your forecast going forward to make sure you're on in the same ballpark.
Well, Mike, I don't know about you, but I think this is pretty scary stuff, huh?
the world is not ending, guys. We just want to make sure that you're fully equipped and you're fully aware of all the expenses that you have going forward in the deal. So just making sure that you're fully equipped and aware to answer and to ask these questions to sponsorship groups going forward.
Yeah, it's our mission to get everyone on the call out of spreadsheet math and rules of thumb and really just look at the reality of things as much as possible, because you're always trying to really juggle and balance the two of those things. And I think for anyone that is just used to looking at it on paper and the pro formas, I think the more you can start to kind of question what goes into this and why is it increasing and what are the risks that we're going to anticipate, not only on the income side, or the occupancy side, but also the expense side, right? Because that's the one I think that gets talked about the least that does pose a, you know, it's always a threat, right? If you're weighing out, you know, your SWOT analysis and your opportunities and threats, I think that's always one of the big things that you're going to be pointing out in any property. You can get blindsided by these things if you don't know about them. So you want to, again, we always say, you know, but be sure and be ready to prepare, not predict. You really can't predict, but you want to build in the contingencies and be comfortable, be able to live with it if some of these things go up faster than you initially anticipate.
Yeah. And I think it's just knowing why. I think as an investor, if you just know a number and your basis of that number is, oh, because my friend or a fellow investor picked that number, that shows that you're not necessarily asking enough questions to understand the basis of that number, what's in that number. So always ask why. It'll drive people crazy. That's how, for me as a student, that's how I learned, is asking all the questions. So then I know every avenue and where I go and what can happen. So as an investor, if you know what'll happen and why, it'll make you stand out above the rest.
Completely. So for our pro tip of the day, I'm going to share a tip that I think that everyone needs to be paying attention to and going out there and implementing. If you haven't already, whether you're passive, active, whether you're on the sidelines, make good friends with a quality, reliable property manager, right? Property managers are the ones that have the best pulse on these things. They are the ones that are constantly dealing with the vendors on for any of these various line items. They're going to be the ones that you can lean on when you're looking at a deal in that particular market and ask them, what are you seeing these costs at, right? And making sure that they agree with your pro forma as you're going into a deal. Because ultimately, you have to look at the alignment of interests, right? The broker oftentimes is there, and love, you know, all the brokers we're friends with, right? But they're in a side where they're oftentimes selling the deal for, and they're getting paid by the seller, right? The property manager is the one trying to win your business and trying to partner with you essentially on a deal for the next 5 years. If they were to lie to you, or if they were not, I don't want to use the word lie, but if they were to set bad expectations for you, poor expectations on the front end, or be overly optimistic on the front end, now they're in business with you for the next 5 years and you're going to make their life a living hell. So I think you have to just pay attention to the alignment of interest in any kind of interaction, and the property manager oftentimes you really should be able to sit on the same side of the table and look at things together and you know, achieve the same common goal. Like, I think that's the best advice I have in terms of predicting some of these expenses. You don't have to go in there and bid out every single, you know, toilet repair and all that stuff up front, but having someone that does know this stuff, that is in the thick of it, is going to be essential.
Because you'll stand out as an operator if you can successfully execute the business plan. And if it doesn't matter if you nickel and, like Dylan said, nickel and dime, but making sure that you can operate and execute the business plan, that at the end of the day will help your investors, help everyone, help the community. That'll change the game for everyone and make you stand out. So just make sure you befriend the property management.
Totally.
Follow the money.
All right, folks. Well, there you have it. Another edition of the RAND CRE Show. We appreciate everyone who joined us today. If you have any questions or if you have anything you'd like to see more of, be sure to shoot us an email at info@randcre.com. Make sure to leave us a rating, review, and comment whenever you listen to the podcast, and we will see you next week.
Have a good one, guys.